I don't understand how there should ever be sexual activity outside of the marriage bonds. Because if a man and a woman are involved in a sexual relationship at home, they should never go outside of the home. Do y'all agree with that? There should never even be a thought in a man's mind to go outside of his home. Now then, if you realize that, if I mean, this will really make a believer out of most men. If men ever come to the point to realize that God says, if you commit sex outside of your married bonds, I personally will judge you. If that won't rock your boat, you're not afraid of God, or you don't believe he's real. Because if he said in the word, I personally will judge every activity of sex outside of marriage. And if you believe that, you can be assured that you're in trouble and God's going to get you. Now then, of course, some people say, well, yeah, I did that, but I've repented. Okay, but did you know the truth before you did it? Well, yeah, I knew it wasn't right, and I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, but I did it anyway. Well, let me tell you what. He'll forgive you, but he's going to punish you. Somewhere along the line, you're going to get a whipping. I mean to tell you, Hebrews 10:26 is too clear to me. Hebrews 10:26 and 7, it clearly says, if we willfully sin after we have the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice for that sin left, but only a fearful judgment of God to come upon you, in Hebrews 10:26. In fact, let's go there. Let's read that right quick, and then we'll come back right here to verse 5 and 6 in 1 Corinthians 7. Go over there. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received a full knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. Now stop and think about this. You're a married person, you have a spouse, and you have a normal sexual relationship, but you go out of town for a month, and you decide that, you know, it's going to be okay. You know God says no sex outside of marriage, but you're out of town for a month now, and you think surely he wouldn't mind if at least once a week I find me a woman up here and everything's going to be okay. God wouldn't mind. Do you think he's going to mind? Yes, that's wrong. We all know that's wrong. I don't care if you're gone 5 years. The scripture says no sex out of wedlock. There's only one person you're ever to have sex with once you get married, and that's your mate. Now, there's no limits on sex with your mate. You know, as far as how many times a week or a day or a month or whatever, there's not a problem there. You know, it's just you don't have it with anybody else. So if you have it with somebody else, you got a problem. But he says, there will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies, and you're his enemy. Now then, do you want God turned loose on you to judge you? No, I don't. I mean, you can turn anybody in the world loose on me. I might not be afraid of anybody here, but if you turn God loose on me, sir, I'm afraid of the king, aren't you? You talk about having sex outside of wedlock, there ain't no sex in the world good enough for me to even think about it knowing these scriptures. Y'all see where I'm coming from? I know sex outside of the marriage bed's wrong. Do all of y'all know that? All of us are big enough around here to know that sex outside of your marriage is sin against God. Is that right? So if anybody does it, you're without excuse. If you go do it now, or if you hear this tape later and you hear that it's sin, you go commit sex outside of wedlock, you can expect the king of the universe to judge you. He's going to judge you. What about I'm going to ask forgiveness? That's okay. It kind of reminds me of a boy that his daddy's told him 3 times not to do something or he's going to give him a spanking. And the first 3 times when he begged, okay, I'll forgive you and I won't spank you. But if you do it one more time, I'm going to give you a spanking. Okay, he does it again. This time he comes in and he says, oh, Dad, I ask forgiveness. Dad, I promise you I won't ever do that again. He said, okay, I'm going to forgive you. But bend over, get my board out and 3 licks, bam, gonna warm your backside up. You're gonna get a spanking. Have we ever had to do that to our children? Sure we have. Is there time they put us to the test? Did you forgive them? Were they still your child? Yes, you didn't lose your salvation here. You didn't even come close to losing your salvation. You just got judged by God. Did he forgive you for what you done? Yes, but did he give you a spanking? Yes, and you won't like it. And you know, some of those spankings might even lead to an early death. And you sure don't want that, do you? No. But anyway, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5 and 6. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both the husband and the wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, they should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. Now then, if you go to a time of prayer and fasting, if you really want to see God answer your prayer of prayer and fasting, you need to discuss it with your mate, and the two of you need to agree that if we're going to pray and fast, we need to fast from everything, and that means sexual intimacy. So while you're seeking God and you're praying, you're not to have sex. You're to keep yourself clean and pure only for the Lord. The two of you, there's not anything wrong with a man and woman that are drinking water only, that go on a 3-day, a 7-day, a 10-day, or whatever, fast, and you kneel beside the bed together to pray, and you go to bed together. But there's no sexual intimacy when you go to bed. You're loving each other, just loving each other, but no sexual intimacy. You're praying, you're fasting, you're reading the Word together, you're seeking God. And after you get through with that fast and with the praying and the no sexual intimacy, the Scripture clearly says that if it's 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, whatever it is, at the end of it, then you are to come back together again. When you start eating food, then you're to go back together to having a normal sexual relationship, because the Scriptures, Paul clearly teaches that we are weak when it comes to sex. Is that true? Sure. People are just weak. You know, they just, it's amazing. That's one of Satan's hooks for some women, not near as much as it is for men. But you know, on these computers today, you can click on something that you don't even know what it is, and you can be in a world of porn in a second on your computer screen. You know, they've got it designed like that. Because you know what they know the average man's going to do once he sees those pictures of those naked women? He's going to look. Instead of just closing it out right then and going away from it, he'll look. And if they got him to look, then he'll go back and he'll look again. That should never be. No man should get hooked on pornography. If you're a man of God, you know God and he lives in you, you should be smart enough to know that that is a tactic of the enemy and that you have been given all power and all authority over that, and you don't have to look at that junk. And if somebody comes out and throws a big picture in front of you, a bunch of naked women, if you do look at it, you ought to tell him, put that aside, son. I don't look at that junk. I don't let that crud filter into my mind. I'm going to keep my mind clean and pure for the kingdom of God. And that should be our desire as Christians. And like I said, if you're married and you got to look at something that's naked, look at your spouse. You know, I mean, her body's yours. You know, look at her. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, when your wife's taking a shower, if you want to watch her take a shower, if she walks out, she's drying off, and you want to look at her while she's drying off, look at her. She's yours. You can do anything you want to in love with your mate that would be holy and clean before God. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? You know, the Scripture says the marriage bed is undefiled. It's undefiled when you do things that glorify God. That's normal sex, normal sexual intimacy. Now, there's things you can do as a married man and woman that I don't think that glorifies God at all. I don't think it glorifies God at all. And I'm going to tell you, that's oral sex. I don't think oral sex glorifies God at all. I don't think he designed that. I think the devil designed that. And I would never, ever take part in oral sex. Never. It ain't going to happen in my house. I think that does not glorify God. It says there, the only exception to the rule would be an agreement of both husband and wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Afterwards, they should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. Self-control. That's not something we do well, is it? Self-control. Most people in the church has very little self-control. Well, it's something we need to work on. Young and old, we need to work on self-control. Now he says in this next verse, he says, now this is only my suggestions. It's not meant to be an absolute rule. Let's see what he's talking about in verse 7 and 8. I wish everyone could get along without marrying. Now see, that's what Paul, he wished. He said, now this is not an absolute rule, but I wish everyone could get along without marrying, just as I do. But we are not all the same. He shows us we are not all the same. He said, God gives some the gift of marriage, and to others he gives the gift of singleness. And he does. He gives some the gift. And some people, you think it would be better to be single. I mean, let's just face it. I see this all the time in the church between men and women, and they're married for, who knows, sometimes a year, 6 months, sometimes many years. And then all of a sudden, they think they need a divorce. And they get a divorce, and then they find out that's not what they wanted. They didn't like singleness like they thought they were going to like singleness. Well, I just tell you for sure that, you know, I was married for 41 and a half years, and I loved being married. I loved having a wife at home. I loved taking care of the children, taking care of the house and all that stuff, but she got killed. And I thought, well, at my age, I was in my early 60s, 62 or 63 years old. Well, when Betty died, and I thought, well, it's over. I'm never going to date. I'm not going to look for another woman. I can live without one. I don't want to, but I can. It's not a problem. I can live without a wife. Now it'll just be me and God. And I had no plans whatsoever ever to get married again. But God had a different plan. He brought me this lovely thing up here on the front seat and told her, because she'd not been married in 24 years, he had a daughter that needed a husband to take care of her. She needed a husband. She was working hard. I mean, you know, working all the jobs she could, trying to keep her head above water. Some of you girls, that if you've been single, you may know what I'm talking about.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, To Marry or Not, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.